You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Suns fans? The Suns are 0-3 in the preseason, but that will not hold us down. This is Locked On Phoenix Suns. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I am your host, Brendan Kleen. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at LockedOnPHXSuns. You can follow me on Twitter and at the Locker Room app at BrendanKleen14. And that is exactly where today's show takes place. I went directly to Locker Room, tried things a little differently tonight to bring a live recap right to you guys. Thanks to everyone who came on. A small crowd that I hope will build over time. That is the Locker Room app. You can download it wherever you get your apps, and it's an awesome new technology. It's a cool little place to hang out with other fans. There are different channels for different teams, leagues, interests, hobbies, whatever it is within the world of sports that you like, you can find a channel on Locker Room. But of course, I was on the Phoenix Suns channel with a couple of fans right after the buzzer of the Suns' 112-107 loss to the Los Angeles Lakers at the what used to be called Talking Sick Resort Arena. I almost called it that again. But I get into some of my thoughts on the games, answer some questions, chat with some folks. It was very fun. I wanted to bring you guys right into that, so that is what we will do today. But before that, I wanted to give a quick top line set of thoughts about the game. This was, again, a 112-107 loss that the Suns actually led after the end of the first quarter by 4 points. We saw DeAndre Ayton get involved early, got to the line 5 times, got some easy looks by the hands of Chris Paul, and we also saw Jay Crowder make some threes early. The offense overall was just really cooking. Chris Paul had 8 assists in this one altogether, played 24 minutes, got a little more run. But that offense was going, and it felt like this might be one of the ones that the Suns could pull out. Obviously, preseason has just been a tough sledding for them in general. Of course, they did not. What happened in the second half was Kyle Kuzma and Talen Horton-Tucker took the reins from LeBron and AD and took the game home. 23 for Kuzma, 18 for THT, the darling of the preseason, the breakout star of the preseason. The Lakers somehow have found another young draft pick here. So I think that's the through line here, is that these guards, these perimeter playmakers, have continued to go off, whether it's Donovan Mitchell, Jordan Clarkson, now Horton Tucker and Kuzma for the Lakers. The Suns need to shore up that perimeter defense. And no matter how good the offense is to start games, it's going to be hard to come from behind if you're going to give up that type of defense. The third quarter was better for the Suns. They outscored the Lakers by 23 in that quarter, but between the second and fourth quarters, it just wasn't enough. The Lakers emerge victorious. Obviously, the winner and loser doesn't matter so much, but you just don't want to see the same mistakes cropping up, and unfortunately, they have been. Another one of those was DeAndre Ayton, despite those 21 points on 8-10 shooting, 9 rebounds. He was pushed around a little bit by Marc Gasol, and that's been a through line through 3 seasons now for DeAndre Ayton, is these bigger, stronger centers can take him off of his spots, can make him second-guess himself, can make him give up shots. So there were a lot of times where, you know, he dished it back out to the perimeter. Sometimes those ended up in good shots, but you just want aggressive Ayton a little bit more still, and we're not seeing that. I noted that he passed up a post-up against Kyle Kuzma after getting bullied by Gasol a little bit. So you can tell it's just seeping into his decision-making out there. And despite the 21-9, you wonder what could have been for Ayton offensively as well as defensively, where the Lakers were getting to the rim pretty regularly and getting what they wanted on offense. So a promising step forward overall for Ayton in this game, in that he was able to impact the game a little more, but his chemistry is developing with Chris Paul, but still a ways to go for him with only one more preseason game and about a week to go until tip-off of the first game. We get into some of the the backup guard stuff in the locker room segment of the show, so I will not belabor that here. You will hear my thoughts on Carter, Moore, Galloway, Point Booker, Chris Paul, staggering those two starters. What does it all look like, and how does campaign factor in? That is a great conversation in the show. So the last thing I wanted to mention here is Jalen Smith, just a checkup on him. Monty has been kind of relentless in saying that the speed of the game, it's just going to be something that he's going to give the rookie the space to develop. And we definitely saw that tonight. 1 of 6 from the field for Smith, 0 of 5 from 3, 2 turnovers, 3 fouls. We saw the confidence still from Smith, but we did not see the kind of casual almost level of comfort that Smith has flashed through the first 3 preseason games. So it's just going to be, there are going to be nights like this, and we should not expect that because Smith showed us some interesting things early on that's just the norm now, right? We got to be patient with this guy. So TBD on what his role is come opening night, but they've been spoon-feeding him minutes during the preseason and seem to at least be willing to give him some time on the floor after taking him 10th overall. So a check-in on Smith and just some of my top-level points. We didn't talk about Ayton much in the locker room segment, so I want to do that here. Without further ado, my debut at Locker Room, the Phoenix Suns channel, I will be going there. I told the guys that were on there today, I'm going to be doing it once a week. I will try my best to hold myself to that. So please go download the Locker Room app. Follow me at BrendanClean14, at BrendanClean14. And we'll chat Suns there sometimes too, and maybe make it part of our show here. All right. Let's take one quick break and then locker room time. Before that, the sponsor of today's show is the best tasting protein bar ever, and that is Built Bar. The new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious than it was before, with 6 new flavors, including caramel brownie, cherry barcia, and apple almond crisp. Hopefully, we are able to take advantage of the weather. I hope my Valley listeners at the very least are doing that, and that is my favorite way to use Built Bars, is to take them on a hike, on a walk, on a run, and they just give you that power up you need after a long workout or after a long day, a busy day. Whatever it is, we all wear ourselves down around the holidays. Somehow, I think we are still finding our way into wearing down despite the pandemic, considering the holiday season and the wear that it takes on us anyway. So Built Bar remains the best clutch option for any of those situations. It's great for the health conscious person, anyone trying to lose or maintain weight, and just about any diet you are on. Right now, you get a free cooler with purchase, which is perfect for the Arizona sun. If you're out there on a hike, even if it's cool, we know the sun can do a number on anything you bring in your bag. So the free cooler is perfect. It's almost like Built Bar had Phoenix in mind. To take advantage of this offer, try out one of those 6 new delicious flavors. You're going to go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, all one word. That's the name of our network, of course. And you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, let's go ahead and get started. I am Brendan Kleen. I'm the host of Locked On Phoenix Suns. It's good to join you guys on the Locker Room app for the first time. I've had an account for a little while. To be honest, was a little bit nervous to come on, but here we are. I am recovering from COVID, so I apologize if my throat sounds a little wonky, but I will let all of you guys, I have Titan, Ethan, and Sam here. I'll invite all of you guys to come speak since there are just a few of you, and we can get underway. I'd love to hear anything you guys want to ask me. All right, Ethan says he is just hanging out for now. So let's start off with my thoughts then. The defense, guys, it's the defense for me to start off with. I was obviously, like everybody, pretty impressed with the Suns to start off with. They built a 13-point lead, if I remember correctly. They were making threes. Jay Crowder made a couple of deep ones. We saw DeAndre Ayton gets set up by Chris Paul a few times. The pick and roll was working for those two. Devin Booker was his usual aggressive self, even if his efficiency hasn't quite been there yet. And, you know, it felt like this one might be a little bit different. And it turns out that the Suns were destined to lose another one, mostly because of their defense. Kyle Kuzma, 23 points on just 15 shot attempts. Hey, Sam.
Are you able to hear me here?
Yeah, I can hear you. You have a question?
The looming question for me in this whole thing was just how much is that short roll, kind of pick and roll passing game going to help this second unit? And we have seen Cam Johnson play, and it wasn't the greatest showing, but we've not seen any Dario Saric. And it just, I continue asking the question the whole time, just how much is that going to free up this offense? Because I don't think campaign is going to function that much differently from each one more. And these other guys a little bit better as a point guard, but we know he has shortcomings. So that's the biggest thing that I'm hoping to see in game four.
Yeah. It looks like Sam cut out there, but Dario Saric, to me, I have a few thoughts on him. One is, whatever this injury is it's a right quad soreness is what it's being listed at right now. And I'm going to defer to Monty that it is just precautionary, but at a certain point you want to see what this team can do. And a big part of it's obviously going to be Dario Saric. So you want to see that guy out there. I hope we do for game four, because he's going to be an integral part of this thing. So it leads me to believe that maybe the injury is a little more serious than we thought, you know, but when we see him, assuming we do in game four or sometime early in the regular season, Sam's question is, you know, does that change things in terms of the second unit, which has been pretty woeful from what we've seen so far? Tonight we had Javon Carter go 5 of 14 for just 15 points. He was 3 of 8 from 3, which is pretty nice. That three-point shot does seem to keep coming from him. Langston Galloway, you know, another night, mostly all of his shots were threes, and then Etuan Moore, 3 of 8 from the field, 3 turnovers, no assists, minus 25, team worst plus minus there. That was when the Lakers really made their run, was in that second half when he was on the floor. So, you know, Saric, you know, Sam said the short roll passing, that's a huge part of Saric's game, obviously, you know, pick and pop, that short roll, getting the ball in space and making a good play. But I would also say some of what he can do at the elbow is obviously a really big part of this Suns offense, and it still is, even with Chris Paul on the team right now. So, you know, you want Saric to be able to do that. You want him to be able to post up. We know even in the bubble we saw him playing the ball handler role in a pick and roll. So, you know, we do need to see that, and it's going to be a massive part of what this second unit is. And to me, I actually do believe in it. I still think that Saric being that fulcrum of the second unit as a playmaker can actually pick up this second unit and lift it off the ground a little bit, because Etuan Moore is a guy who you know we saw even on some misconnections with Jonathan Motley, these lob passes that Etuan Moore missed. All these different ways where a more traditional point guard might have been better, but you only need that traditional point guard when it's like a Jonathan Motley pick and roll, right? Or a Damian Jones pick and roll, or, you know, a broken down possession because, you know, Galloway's shot isn't there, or Javon Carter's kind of breakdown of the offense, of the defense, did not go so well. You know, that's when you need that bailout from a guy like Etuan Moore. But if you have an offense more built around Dario Saric and pick and roll with him, pick and pop with him, Cam Johnson spotting up, Cam Johnson running off screens, things like that, you kind of have the makings of a more reasonable and functional offense. So that's what I'm looking forward to seeing with Saric. He'll just balance the whole thing out, where you don't need that point guard as much, hopefully, whether it's Payne, Moore, or anyone else. So we got to be hoping that this guy does play in the final game, and even that's not giving him a ton of time. Granted, we don't see what's going on in practice. Dario Saric, by all indications, has been with the team, obviously, and we assume has been practicing to some extent. But it's going to be asking a lot of him to come and be a fulcrum of an offense, even if it's the second unit, come regular season time. So I hope that answers your question, Sam. I think it will help quite a bit, and it'll help to mask some of the limitations we've seen from those guards. But obviously, we know that it's not gonna be enough with how bad this second unit has looked right now to completely shore things up. Ethan Simon says, would love to see him have a big role. Thought he was underutilized since the Philly days. Oh, for sure. You know, it was funny. I was watching the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast the other day, and they still have a Dario highlight in their intro video. So I would love to see him completely unlocked like he was in the bubble for a full season. I think Brandon, AZ Sports Zone, Zona Sports, whatever you know him as, he was on the show on Locked On Suns last week talking about how he thinks Šarić can get some Sixth Man of the Year votes. I completely agree. So the sooner we can see that, the sooner he can get comfortable in that role, the better. It's been a disappointment not to see it in the preseason so far. Suns 0-3. I'm going to welcome some of you guys in. We got Johan, Dylan, Vicente, as well as Ethan and Sam. If any of you guys want to speak, please go ahead and hit that button. I will let you on the stage. We can have some more questions here. In the meantime, I wanted to talk a little bit about how much of a complete train wreck this Lakers team is to defend. I mean, I was excited about the Suns forwards this year with Mikal Bridges and Jay Crowder at the three and the four. We saw that starting lineup for the first time tonight. Crowder played, 21 minutes and looked like what you wanted him to be, especially as a spot-up shooter. The problem was he defensively, it's just impossible to contain Davis and James. I mean, I tweeted during the game, you saw the James-Davis pick and roll a little bit, and I guess physically you would think LeBron and Davis are like two of the better guys to, Bridges and Crowder are two of the better guys to defend LeBron and Davis, and it almost just doesn't matter. And maybe that's a fact of life in the NBA these days, is that those guys all on the, both on the court involved in the action together, you're not going to do much against them. But it was just a reminder of kind of where the Suns sit, I guess, in the grand scheme of things, and what the kind of limitations, I guess you could say, of playing a little smaller are too. This was a huge Lakers starting lineup tonight and a huge Lakers team overall. And the Suns will be a little bit of a different look squad this year, downsizing a bit. No Baines, Šarić isn't going to start, no Kaminsky, no Rashawn Holmes for a really big throwback there. So it's going to be a different look, and it's going to be predicated on team defense, on those guys figuring things out together, and on DeAndre Ayton playing a hell of a season on that end of the floor. So I'm interested to see how it looks, and you know, early indications, it's kind of hard to say anything. Defense is going to be so much based on team stuff anyway that, you know, a shortened training camp, shortened preseason, I'm not going to read too much into it. This was the first time we saw the real starting lineup on the floor. Hopefully we can start to see some improvements as soon as game number four. But so far, it's been a challenge on that end for sure. And we're seeing guys like, you know, Jordan Clarkson and Talen Horton-Tucker really do a number just with primary shot creation for these Suns opponents. So not a good sign. That's one thing that has held true throughout all the games, but obviously some room to grow there as you get guys in full minutes and get that chemistry. Does anyone have a question for me? It can be on any of the preseason. It can be general Suns stuff. It can be previewing the 2020-21 season here. Sam looks like he's got another one. Go for it, Sam.
Yeah. So I was talking actually with Dylan, who's in the chat as well, about what leap Devin Booker's going to take this year, because he's taken one every year. And the answer that I had, and I think that per 36 is on tonight's Booker assists, you know, he's had good assist numbers, but he was at 9.9 tonight, and it just felt like in his minutes without CP, he realized just how much he needed to control the game. And I think that his ability to vacillate, we've talked about this 30-point score. What do you think about, you know, his ability to transition between high volume scorer and, you know, maybe what we saw tonight in this efficient passing as kind of that next step. I know we want defense, but could be really good, I think, for him to learn from a guy like Chris Paul. And it just felt like it was already showing dividends tonight.
That's a great point. I mean, I would say it's kind of something that I had stopped like getting too excited about almost from all the early games in Booker's career, where it didn't really seem like that's how James Jones, at least, well, I guess that's not early, but kind of the past couple of years, didn't seem like that's how James Jones wanted to build things. But then you look, and obviously we saw it tonight. I'm looking at Kellen Olsen's Twitter feed. I hopped on with you guys instead of doing media tonight just to mix things up. But it looks like, you know, Monty did say that staggering those two guys, Booker and Paul, is something that they want to look more at it, that's an option that they think is a possibility come regular season time. He liked that Point Book was able to get downhill and keep the flow alive from the first unit. So obviously we know Booker is probably the second best passer on this team. It's just a matter of if Monty wants to dip into that well. You know, I think they have enough shooting now too, where you can kind of live with not having Booker be that off-ball weapon as much. You know, they didn't really have that in past years. So it was kind of like, well, do you want, like you were talking about, Sam, that trade-off of do you want him as a scorer or do you want him as a passer, and kind of taking him off of one to do the other. I think now they're at a position with Crowder, Bridges, Johnson, even like Carter and Galloway, where they have enough shooting that you can create good offense just using Booker as a passer and initiator without sacrificing too much. That wasn't even true probably last year. So I think it's something where the combination of how kind of bad the backup guards have looked from a playmaking standpoint so far, combined with those ways that the rest of the roster can accentuate those looks, that make me a little more optimistic about seeing it more and having it work more. Dylan says in the chat, we might have to look to Book with the second unit at points mid-game to help stop the bleeding with the second unit. Yeah, I mean, I think Monty's going to want to build. I think one thing about him is what we saw last year where, you know, the backup point guard, the ugly backup point guard competition that we saw, where it was like, you know, Elia Kobo for a few games, Chai Jerome for a few games, and Monty couldn't really land on a guy that he loved, but also kept trying to give these guys all different chances. I think he wants to land on a solid rotation, so I wouldn't think we'll see, you know, some kind of reactionary types of substitutions where, oh, this isn't working, let's flip it completely mid-game or anything like that. But I think this last preseason game and the first couple regular season games are going to tell us a lot in terms of, does Monty need to go into the regular season thinking that these guys are going to have to be staggered for this team to be at its best? And maybe that's just true. Maybe, you know, at least to start off until Etuan Moore can learn this offense better. It looks like he's having some problems just in terms of that, finding guys, knowing where guys are going to be, knowing where to set players up. Yes, you know, it was Motley a couple times, but it's also just, you can tell he's not necessarily comfortable finding the holes in the defense within the system right now. So, you know, maybe that's part of it. Maybe it's Payne coming along a little bit more as well. Maybe it's finding a guard on the scrap heap. That's still not something I've turned the page on. It might be something that they need to do. But until then, to sum up my point here, I do think Booker as a point guard option. That was my kind of thought going in, and we didn't see it the first couple preseason games really, so I kind of turned away from that maybe a little too quickly, because I do think it's probably one of the better looks this team has. If anyone else has a question, please raise your hand, ask to speak. We got Ryan, Johan, Ethan in here who have not asked anything. I'd love to hear from you guys if you have anything. Otherwise, I might wrap up soon, and maybe Sam has something, another one as well. Dylan says, I don't have high hopes for Moore running the offense. I think he has a role to play, but hopefully PG isn't it long term. Yeah, sure. No, I agree. He's not a point guard. I wouldn't call him that at all. I don't have high hopes for him running the offense, but I guess if you told me that you know, the offense was more running through Šarić in that second unit. I still think Moore can be a guy who, you know, he can make an entry pass. Like, he can kind of get the ball whipping around the perimeter. He can run a pick and roll and get his own shot. And, you know, when we're talking about 10 to 15 minutes a game where you're just buying time while Booker's not on the floor and Paul's not on the floor, like, I think it could be a lot worse. You know, we have to be realistic. We are talking about a second unit as the backup to the best player on the team. So it's a position where you can afford to maybe not have so much depth. But no, I certainly agree, Dylan. He's not like a point guard. This is not, you know, this is not DJ Augustine or a player like that that they could have had in free agency. They're going to have to make do kind of piecing it together. But back to Sam's initial question about Šarić, I think that's a piece that we just have to see how it fits before we make any grand claims about the backup situation overall. All right, guys. Appreciate you guys listening as always. Check out my episode tomorrow on Locked On Suns. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On PHX Suns. We got Rohan Nadkarni of Sports Illustrated coming on the show to preview the Suns season tomorrow. So check out the show if you haven't, if you just found us here on The Locker Room. Otherwise, appreciate all the listeners who came on. We're going to try to do this, let's say once a week. I'll try to hold myself to once a week, and it was really fun. So thanks again, and you guys have a great rest of your night.